Honey, I'm going out. I'll be back in a couple hours.
You play Farmville and call yourself a gamer.
You said awesome, and I said I hate it.
Okay, so here we go. This is where the extended knowledge comes in.
Don't mind me. I'm just staring at a wall somewhere.
Can anyone afford Benedict Cumberbatch?
That's surprising.
I don't think a human could make those sounds.
Yeah, well, you can do it, though, can't you?
Yeah, okay.
Hi, I'm Dean.
Paul.
And I'm Jason. Welcome to Nerds Before Birds, the show where you'll find reviews, rankings, and general discussion on all things pop culture.
What?
We are a weekly podcast where one nerd yells, one nerd rambles, and another one...
is old.
I forgot what he does.
Because he's old. That's perfect.
This week, we are talking Dark Phoenix, directed by Simon Kinberg and James McAvoy. What? What was what? That?
I said, I wish I could forget this one.
Oh, yeah, me too.
When we came up with that joke, the Rambler of the Senile.
Yeah,
I was just thinking, like, in my head, it's like, man, that's just the three stereotypes of old men, right?
Yeller, the Rambler.
We're not a movie podcast. We're just role playing what we'll be like in 50 years.
We're those guys in the Muppets who are sitting in that box.
But there's only ever two of those, so
you'll die first.
That's right.
I'm talking about Dean and I, mate. Don't throw yourself in my vision.
All right. Anyways, getting back to this. This week we are talking Dark Phoenix, directed by Simon Kinberg and starring James McAvoy, Michael Fassbender, Jennifer Lawrence, Nicholas Holt, and Sophie Turner as Jean Grey, aka the Dark Phoenix herself.
Don't forget Ty Sheridan.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he's in this too, but we could go through a list of many names that are in this. There's also Jessica Chastain as well, so we could go into that. But anyways.
Nicholas Holt.
I already said Nicholas Holt. Okay.
We get it. Anyways, we've all got IMDb open.
All right. Anyways, this is the final entry in the Fox-led X-Men franchise as the new mutant seems to never, like, it seems like it's never going to be released. It's kind
Evan
of.
Evan Peters is in it as well.
Yes, he is in it. Okay, cool. We've gone through the list of the cast.
Lamar Johnson.
What?
I hate you guys. Anyways, so does Dark Phoenix soar like a phoenix or since we flipped the bird? Whoa. What do you guys think of this film?
Also
what
like a mean? Phoenix.
Yeah. Or does it burn out like a phoenix?
Oh, it's a good one. What if it was right in the middle, though? Is it phoenix?
It's just a smoldering phoenix. That's what it is. It's not like quite burning, but it's not quite dying as well.
I like it.
Just smoldering.
Slightly damp phoenix.
Lukewarm phoenix.
Okay. What did you think this movie deemed?
Oh, my gosh.
Grayscale. All right, yeah. The Game of Thrones reference. All right, cool. Grayscale?
I just meant it's gray instead of dark, or it's not white, it's not dark.
Yeah,
it's
right.
I see. Gray.
That wasn't a grayscale joke.
Clever.
Oh, I thought you were just going straight for your Game of Thrones thing. You're just going to reference it every episode from now on.
It all depends on what Dean says, really.
Yeah, okay, fair enough. Come on, Dean. What did you think of this movie?
Okay, what did I think? It's a pretty flopping phoenix, eh?
I had that once.
Oh, I'm so sorry. Yeah, it kind of flips the bird. Not in like Rim of the World absolute of a movie way.
I feel like Rim of the Toilet is probably that is the standard for the lowest movie that we're ever going to have on the show. So, that's pretty much, I anything is up from there. Like, really?
we could probably pretty soon change our, we no longer do Flip the Bird or, whatever. Yeah. It's like, on a scale of Rim of the World to Avengers Endgame, where does this movie
Where does it land?
Welcome to Nerds Before Rim of the World.
Be in between.
A podcast not about Rim of the World. Yeah.
ever. Oh,
even the podcast about Rim of the World isn't about Rim of the World. It's like every chance we get to derail the podcast. Well, I did anyways. I hated that.
Today we're reviewing anything else but Rim of the World. Let's not talk about Rim of the World.
Can we not?
Anyways,
Paul, what did you think of this movie? Where did it land for you? Does it soar or does it flip?
Look, like Rim of the World, there were some elements in it that I didn't truly hate. But overall, it was okay. No, it was all right. Here's the thing.
Yeah.
The Dark Phoenix storyline is a really, really awesome storyline. And I used to read a lot of X-Men growing up. So I was coming in semi-excited, knowing I'm going to be disappointed, but hoping it was going to be okay. I think it's like, it's middle of the road for me. It's not the worst X-Men movie, but it's just not the best movie in general. And they kind of do it okay, but it's just, it's a movie.
What is the worst X-Men movie for you?
The third one?
The Last Stand?
Yeah, it's absolute garbage.
Really?
Yeah.
Do you think that's worse than X-Men Origins Wolverine, though?
Oh, I forgot about that one.
That was
actually quite terrible as well. Let's go both of those.
So was Apocalypse. It was pretty bad.
Apocalypse.
Yeah. Well,
I didn't want to. Well, because two of the girls that I worked with, they went and saw it and they were like,
It's pretty bad.
Right.
But how did you go in this one? Because there were a few things from Apocalypse.
I need to see Apocalypse? They're like,
no, you don't. Come on, the timeline is so messed up. Like, it doesn't matter. It really doesn't matter. Although,
continuity is not a big thing.
Yeah, it's not. Series. It's not really a big thing.
Welcome to the Nerds for Perds podcast. Well, the scores don't matter, and continuity is not a thing. Yeah. Welcome to episode 4.
Yeah.
All right.
What?
Jason. What did you do?
I'm confused. That's kind of how I feel in these movies anyways. But
What's happening?
Jason, what did you think?
In this podcast.
Why are they all flying? My planes didn't have propellers. Sorry, keep going, Jason.
Oh, anyway, continuing on.
What did you think, Jason?
Yeah,
what
I didn't like
think,
it. Unsurprisingly, I thought it flipped the bird, but I was wanting to like it, and there were things that kind of worked for me. For like mainly in the beginning, the first scene was awesome.
Yeah.
But it did kind of remind me of Shazam in retrospect. And I feel like, like the first scene in Shazam where you have the kid and the
car crash.
Yeah, the car crash.
Are you a little bit over car crash origin stories? Like, I just feel like I'm seeing it a lot lately.
Yeah. Yeah, there is a few. Yeah.
Yeah, it just feels, you know, crash something else.
You know what?
Crash a boat or a jet ski.
That actually, yeah.
Or a plane.
It kind of like
brings
up one of the reasons, like, because this film, there's nothing really that feels original this movie
not
at all.
No.
It all feels like a lot of rehashed ideas from other movies.
Completely.
And so, like, right there, exactly, with Shazam opening. And then, it's just...
I'd go as far to say that The Last Stand is actually a better movie than this.
Whoa,
and I know Paul would disagree with me. Ooh, and the reason is because Wolverine is such a better character than any of these characters.
Yep,
and he sort of levels that film a lot better. And
that is our point.
The movie's not great, but this movie's not great either. So
it is an opinion.
It's an opinion.
Yeah. I mean, it's kind of like, you know, one's like at the bottom.
It's a sentence.
And then one's like maybe a step up from the bottom.
Okay. They're
really, it's like levels of turd.
It's like you've got like you put a barrel in a barrel. And at the bottom of that other barrel, you've got like Rim of the World. But then if you were to lift that barrel, you've got this one.
Yeah. Yeah.
What sitting very, very happily next to Buster Scruggs.
Disagree.
And episode 5 of Game of Thrones.
But
season 8?
Season 1?
Not like episode 5. Like
you just have to say episode 5 and people know what you mean. They're like, oh yeah, the bells.
I think you're referring to season 1, episode 5.
Yeah.
I have nothing
else.
I genuinely don't remember what that episode is.
I was thinking, why do you hate season 1 so much?
Like, I love season 1. Season 1's good.
Yeah. Yeah.
Mm. Anyway,
so this podcast. Movie sucks.
Thanks for joining us.
Yeah, I was disappointed.
It's evident in the fact that we are trying to talk about anything else but this movie.
That happens
when
a lot.
Do we do that? You know that this movie sucks.
We're going to get into spoilers for this movie. jump out now if you really care, but whatever. And yeah,
also reevaluate your life if you really care.
Mystique dies,
everyone.
Why are you
going to start with that straight away?
I am. You know why? Because it's in the trailer.
Is it?
It's in the trailer for this movie. It's so dumb. It's like the best twist in the whole movie is in the trailer.
Just because the trailer's doing it, you don't have to sync to the trailer's level,
It's in the trailer.
It is in the trailer.
I'm being a jerk like the Fox was being a jerk when they showed us the trailer for this movie because they're it's a different movie. It's Mystique. She's going to die. She's going to eat
it's
it.
It's actually
in this movie.
Really stupid and funny in hindsight because they came out and explained the reason. It's like, the reason why we put this in the trailer was because we needed audiences to know that this is not your normal X-Men movie and the stakes are heaps higher and, you know, characters are going to die.
You're like,
really? Other characters are going to die? It's like, no, just Mystique.
I flipping thought she killed Magneto as well later on, then all of a sudden he's just sitting there.
Yeah, well, she does the whole thing. She's like, let me show you how to kill someone. And she like crushes his like helmet. We'll get to that. But and I was like, this is going to be super brutal. It's going to be like Oberon dying in Game of Thrones. It's going to be amazing. And then she's like, throw you out the
window. But then she breaks the helmet. And I thought she then sent all four pieces into him.
It did look like she stabbed him with his own helmet. That's what it looked
like. Why is
he
dead? That's lame.
She doesn't. She doesn't actually stab him. She breaks all four pieces. They go out and they look like they're going to come in, but then she like force projects him out the window kind of thing.
Right.
With all those pieces. So they don't even like actually hit him or anything. So,
well, that's just,
but somehow he survives that, even though like his power is metal. It's not actually, you know, healing fast or anything.
It's actually magnetism.
Oh, magnetism.
It looked like she pushed him out the window with his helmet. With the pointy ends.
Yeah, the pointy ends.
As a stabbing.
He pulled her out of the car
with a knife. In her. I don't know why I said her. But
yeah.
Oh, man.
Anyways, so
epic.
For this movie, we're getting into spoilers. Sorry for spoiling Mystique dying.
The only spoiler is pretty much
the only spoiler. That's pretty much it. That's the spoiler.
Oh.
All right. What are you guys doing on the weekend?
Oh, I'm going to be streaming a bunch.
We're finished.
By the law.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah. Anyways, so it begins with little girl Jean. She wants some quiet
Lil
time.
Jean.
Or actually, no, she wants to listen to her own radio station while her parents are driving along and they're like,
hell yeah.
Yeah, they're like, nah, we're listening to this radio station. And she's like, nah, I want to listen to my radio station. So she just straight up kills her parents. As you do. Kind of.
Look, man, just a regular child. Just a regular child.
Just a regular child.
Really popular.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah.
No, look, more like she's like, no, mom, I don't want to listen to your radio stations. Yeah. I'm going to put you to sleep at the wheel.
Oh, yeah.
I'll take
okay,
over.
Yeah,
that's
yeah.
what.
What yeah. if it's like, how about when you're old enough to drive, you can listen to the music that you want to listen to? It's like, okay, I'm old enough to drive right now. Let's go.
Yeah, look at me go.
Drive
look
the car go. Into a
I'm
truck.
I'm driving us into a truck. Yeah, that's it.
You don't stop me because you're asleep.
Yeah.
Choo-choo.
Yeah. Xavier does like the jerk move and he tells her that both the parents are dead, but we find out later on that one of them isn't dead.
Also spoiler.
There's another spoiler.
Another spoiler.
There's two.
And he's like, okay, I'm going to put up a mental wall in your mind and like hide away this pain that happened, like this
scaffolding.
Tragedy. That,
thank you, Jason.
Yeah,
so
scaffolding.
Yeah, mental scaffolding.
Okay, it's not a very thick wall, as we find out later on.
No.
It's just scaffolding.
Quite a wall. Scaffolding, or in other words, a wall.
It's like,
because I believe is what the scripting is in this movie.
It's kind of like an office boardroom where the walls are like those slightly opaque glass.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's kind of what she's rocking through, here in her mind.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's a glass wall. That's straight through.
That's right.
So after this, we flash forward to the 1992.
Or scaffolding. Where,
bloody great year. Absolutely epic year, 1992.
Great year.
So many good things happened then.
Xavier is now 60 years old, but hasn't looked any younger. He's looking pretty good.
He's bald now.
Yeah, Jean Grey is also 30, but she kind of looks about 18
She's
or 19.
Hot now.
Yeah. How weird is it that
like the original cast, like Patrick Stewart, Ian McKellen, Famke Janssen, all that, they're closer to the age of these characters than the younger actors that are playing these characters now.
Yeah. It's so, they don't even age them up. They just keep them exactly the same.
We'll just pretend.
This is what you would have missed from the last movie, Paul, because in Apocalypse, it was 10 years beforehand.
Okay.
And Sophie Turner looks exactly the same. They don't even bother like making her look older.
Well, that's disappointing.
So, yeah.
They actually pointed out the age thing in Apocalypse because they reunite with Rose Byrne's character.
Yeah.
And they point out, it's like, she must be like 40 something. And then she's like, man, she looks really good. And it's like, guys, you're all like 40 something.
Yeah.
you all look fantastic.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's just so weird. Yeah. And then so this one is just like, what?
Sorry, I'm looking at the original one, like the ages and whatever. Mm-hmm. I had no idea. This just blew my mind. What's her name? Famke Janssen.
Famke Jan.
Obviously, she's Jean Grey. I had no idea that she was Xenia Onatopp from GoldenEye.
Yeah, she is.
Yeah, she was.
She just had
the black hair in GoldenEye.
Xenia.
Yeah.
I love it, man. Great.
Because then Alan Cumming was also in GoldenEye.
He was.
And played
the villain in Spy.
What?
Spy Kids. What?
Wow.
No, he played Nightcrawler in
Bollis.
In number two, right?
In that's GoldenEye. What I meant.
Yeah, yeah.
And Pierce Brosnan just wasn't in it at all.
He was James Bond.
Pierce Brosnan.
He was
and
the
you know who else
bitch.
Was James Bond? Sean Connery. And you know what Sean Connery did? He retired a few years ago.
He stayed retired.
You know who didn't stay retired? Hans Zimmer from retiring from doing superhero movies because he came out of retirement for this movie.
Look, I didn't think it was that bad, to be honest.
Okay. I was wondering where we were going with that.
I'm bringing
it
back around,
jumped
okay?
off the acting ship there.
Yeah.
And went to a very different everything, but
so
well done.
Hans Zimmer did, he retired from superhero movies for a whole 3 years.
Good luck.
And then he's like, no, I'm coming back and I'm going to do Dark Phoenix. And he's also going to do Wonder Woman 1984 next year. Yeah. So
Could it be that he realized that the only movies actually getting made these days are superhero
movies. He's probably
so
like,
if you're retired from superhero films, he's basically just retired.
He just wants another Lamborghini.
Probably.
That too.
Like, you know what? I like having a lot of money. What can I make? It's a superhero movie. I'll just faff some crap out in an afternoon and then just sell it.
Yeah.
Nice.
Just fart out a composition for these things.
Is it a happy movie or a dark movie? Oh, it's a dark movie. Okay, we'll do a minor scale then. We're done.
I'll just sit on my keyboard for a bit. See what happens.
Oh, look, I came up with the Interstellar score. Oh.
How did you come up with that? Well, funny story, my cat jumped on the piano. And I just couldn't grab it in time. It's a genius.
Just missed it. But I was still recording, so I was like, I don't want to throw out the recording.
That's so great.
So, okay. We'll go
there was
this.
An earthquake.
He just goes on a break and then just like leaves one of those, does the whole Homer Simpson thing with the like the bird drip thing and just like pressing the keyboard. Brilliant.
That's funny.
Anyways.
Though, so having said that, Hans Zimmer is a genius. Oh, I love him.
It was a really good score.
Yeah. I actually really like Hans Zimmer. Gonna backpedal a little bit because he is really
apologies
awesome.
Hans Zimmer, you're a fantastic person.
If you want to come on this podcast, we're happy to have you on the podcast.
If not, we'd happily have your cat.
Yeah.
Jason just wants someone closer to his age.
There we go. Okay. Yep. Anyways, getting back to this.
Oh man.
So Sophie Turner is reintroduced as Jean Grey, and she has again another terrible American accent. And I'm just
what are you talking about, Jason?
Yeah. That was perfect. Perfect.
Thank you. I'm an X-Men now.
I didn't get why they don't just let her be British in this, because, I mean, they've screwed around with the storyline enough. Why can't they just make her like a foreign exchange student or something? Like, just like,
that's
do away with it all. Like, just pretend considering, like, she's from England the whole time kind of thing.
Yeah.
And
considering Halle Berry didn't have a very consistent South African accent.
Not at all.
In
what?
Yeah, because Storm's like full like South African. And I was like,
yeah.
What is going on here? Because
they kind of ignored that after the first try.
Yeah.
Yeah. So the first movie, like, she had a very thick accent, and then that was it.
Howdy, y'all. Jean Grey here.
I'm Storm.
But I feel like with Sophie Turner, I feel like she's a good actress because she's done pretty well in Game of Thrones. But
yeah,
she's okay. Yeah,
she's sort of like, I feel like she's really focusing on nailing the accent and not really doing anything acting. Else sort of thing. Like, yeah, she's not doing her acting. So I'm like, it's kind of
annoying. Will say, like, there are some really good moments with her, like in the scenes where, like, she's just basically on her own. And she's really good at showing the internal struggle that she's going through.
For sure. I thought, whenever she's not actually verbalizing the internal struggle, it's like, that's where the problems come along. I mean, even like, or Michael Fassbender slips characters into his Irish accent as well.
He does.
A little bit.
Yeah.
And I know, like, there's Ty Sheridan is not the best because he's got his thick Texas accent that sort of seeps through a little bit as well.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, they're all sort of guilty of it. But I kind of like
Nicholas Hoult as well. Is it Hoult?
Holt. Yeah.
Holt. Nicholas Holt.
Yeah. He's got his English accent as well.
Are there any?
Also, James McAvoy.
Americans.
Well, Jennifer Lawrence is American.
Jennifer Lawrence is like, and Jessica Chastain.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And James McAvoy is Scottish, so like he has that sort of thing. But I feel like the English accent, he sort of gets it a little bit easier. Kind of gets let off the hook a little bit because it's not as hard as some of those American accents. Like, they don't stick out as much, especially when there's like other Americans in the scenes and stuff. But yeah. So we're flash forward. We're in the 90s.
Yeah.
We have
we are.
They're watching a space launch. It's taking off and everything. There's disaster sort of ensues because there's a solar flare coming along. And
disaster ensues?
Ensues.
Just a regular. I thought it was just a regular disaster.
Okay.
I didn't see what footwear it had on, so.
Ensues.
You're welcome. You're welcome. Thank you.
Yeah, you caught me slurring again. Good one.
I see you back on the Jack Daniels, Jason. Hey, zone back.
Yeah, it's just sleep deprivation.
Sleep deprivation.
Hearing, actually.
Is it?
Sleep deprivation.
Sleep
and
depriving.
Not being able to actually put a sentence together because you guys won't let me put sentences together without interrupting.
So what's happening with the spaceship? Shape?
Anyway, so yeah, the spaceship.
Come on.
You guys are the worst.
So a spaceship gets launched.
Yeah, thank you.
It's back when they're firing shuttles off planes. Absolutely epic time in history. And great launch. Woo! Life is good.
I love the 90s.
Love the 90s. So then they get into high orbit. But then they're hit by a solar flare, I think.
Oh, no.
Are they hit by the flare or something?
It's an energy-like solar flare thing.
It's not actually
a solar flare because...
Well, they're calling it a solar
flare. We find out later on that it's actually something else.
Here.
Yeah. All right, cool. Laura, weave the narrative.
Okay, and they get hit by a solar flare. So they send up, they get called on the X phone. And
a solar flare?
And it's like, there's a solar flare. It's like, okay, cool, we can go up there in a plane. So they go to space in a plane.
The X plane.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
The X jet.
Who needs training for these kind of things? Like, you just go to space, it's going to be fine.
You don't even need space suits.
No one probably thought of this, but this genuinely bothered me. When they fired them up into space. Cyclops puts an arm on Jean Grey's shoulder. I'm like, dude, you are going to space. The sheer G-forces you are experiencing, you're lucky you're not turning into liquid. let alone leaning forward and putting your damn hand on his shoulder.
That's what you had a problem with? That,
well, that, that was one of the things. Like, okay, look, cool. I think problems were had.
Yeah.
If he's got that problem, he's got several hundred other problems coming up.
Welcome to the podcast on their space mission, and that's all we're covering tonight.
Because there'll be plenty of problems. Orbital trajectory. No, I'm kidding. Anyway, they go to space. No. The NASA ship is cooked. So they're like, go and do it. So they send Quicksilver and Nightcrawler in. And, you know, Nightcrawler basically can get them into the ship. And then Quicksilver can quickly unbuckle them and get them off the ship. And they do so. But then all of a sudden they're like, oh, no, there's a captain. And then, what's her name? Raven's like, oh, screw you, captain. We're all going to die. But then James McAvoy's like, no, you should either all die or you all succeed. So they send them back in to go and get the captain.
I think this is one of the really jerk maneuvers that
it was quite
Xavier
dickish.
Does in this. He's definitely the worst character in this. And he's usually so likable, but...
Yeah,
just
he's actually garbage.
They completely screw over his character, like, in this completely. Like, it's nothing he does is a good thing.
Which is disappointing.
They needed to for plot reasons.
Oh, yeah, okay? That makes sense, yeah. It's almost as much sense as, what's her name, Daenerys becoming...
It's almost as much sense as, you know, being able to lean forward in a ship that's going to orbit. joke.
Oh, my God.
Look, I was trying to throw in a really fun reference there, but yeah.
Neil deGrasse Tyson is rolling in his grave and he's not even dead yet.
Oh, my God.
That shot killed him. Are you happy for us?
By the way, Paul doesn't need help bringing up Game of Thrones season 8.
I don't.
Yeah, it's quite
he will find a way to
I thought of one earlier where I was like, I'm surprised Sophie Turner wasn't better at this because she's used to trash writing.
That was pretty good.
Yeah, I've been sitting on that one for 10 minutes. I was waiting and then all of a sudden Jason just kept going. I'm like, I'll come back.
Yeah. Anyway, so Sophie Turner, like Jean Grey, has to go in to hold the ship together or something.
Because
she
can do it.
I can't remember why.
Yeah, exactly. She's the only one strong enough.
Yep. So she goes in and she's like, yeah, okay, I'm going to hold the ship together. And then
without a helmet? Side note.
Without a helmet.
Anyway, whatever.
No, but she doesn't need one because she's a mutant because that's part of her power, apparently.
Yep, that was probably the bubble thing that she did in the car crash.
Yeah,
she
that's
does
it
later on.
Yeah.
Let's go with that. So, sure,
whatever.
But still, they don't even show that. Anyway, no, we will go with that.
So she's holding the ship together, and she's struggling hardcore because there's this massive solar flare thing coming, and it's ripping the whole ship apart.
Oh, yep.
And Nightcrawler and Quicksilver get the last guy out, and they take him back to the ship, and then for whatever reasons, they leave her behind. And
I feel like Nightcrawler just forgets, doesn't he? Yeah. Doesn't he? He just forgets about her.
Nightcrawler's smart. He's like, you know what? Situation here is not ideal. Let's get back to safety so we can all live.
But he gets back and there's like, where's Jean? And he looks like this, like, oh, crap. Like, I totally forgot her.
That's right,
Jean.
Damn it.
Oopsie. Oh, damn.
Oh, I was forgetting something. Not one.
I feel like they need to set that up. They need to give him a scene at the very start of the movie where they entrusted Nightcrawler to maybe pick up some groceries or some laundry. And then it's like, Nightcrawler, where is my suit? It's like, oh, I forgot. I'm so forgetful. I'm sorry. That's why he can forget Jean Grey and his ship. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, maybe it's kind of like Rim of the World where like he jumbles up numbers and stuff like that. They're like, you take two people across and he's like, yes, one.
No. I took a person across and I brought a person back, right?
I thought you were going to say it was like Rim of the World where they forgot to write a script.
Oh, yeah.
And
that's
just,
true.
You pronounce Game of Thrones weird, Dean. How do you say it?
He was doing a trade-off. I just realized what he was doing.
Trade-off.
He was doing a trade-off.
He
was dropping off someone and taking someone back because he gets the astronaut back.
Yeah, he's like an Uber.
He's like, oh, well, I could only fit two people, so I took
maybe he thought Jean was the astronaut.
Maybe.
He just got really confused.
She has red hair. His suit is red. He just got confused.
Like, what?
There's a lot of red going around. So, he gets confused.
Exactly.
Jean gets hit by the solar flare and it looks like she's going to die. For a split second, obviously,
but
not because we all know the title of the movie.
Mm-hmm. Jean isn't dead.
Yep. No, she's not. She's just floating out in space.
Alive, absorbing
alive.
The solar flare.
Yeah.
Also, I'm pretty sure they tried to change the name of this to X-Men.
Jean's alive
X-Men
still.
X-Men Mystique dies.
It's called X-Mystique.
Yeah. yeah, so Nightcrawler's like, yeah, okay, I'm going to go out and I'm going to get her, bring her back, you know, even though they've all watched her absorb this, like, energy burst or whatever.
That's right.
And it's disappeared completely, but she's still there.
Yep.
So,
yeah, well, they're not going to leave her body just floating in space.
Oh, I just
cool that, down.
That's See, even more of a dick move.
Oh, that. It is, but I feel like Charles Xavier, for the character that he is, he probably would have done that. Like, he would have been like, hey, maybe it's not a good idea to bring her back because she might be, like, radioactive for everyone here or something. Let's not do it. And let's just leave her floating around in space. But anyways, they bring her back. Anyways, she gets taken back to Earth where she starts to have dreams and hallucinations and stuff like that.
That's right.
Meanwhile, somewhere in America, I can't even remember where, some scroll-like shape-shifting race aliens arrive and they kill Jessica Chastain's character, who's having a lovely dinner party, and then they... Mm. Torture and kill all the people at the party. And we do a whip pan to a forest rave part thing outside the X mansion. And I kept thinking that the way that that was edited, I was like,
are they near here?
Yeah. I was like, are they in, is this in the same spot? Like, is the lady that's looking for Jean, like just in the house that they're outside having the party? And I was like, come on, hey, Jessica Chastain, she's just over there if you're looking for her. Kind of thing.
Who is this Jessica Chastain?
Yeah.
Oh, man.
And I'm like, it was just really weird. Did you guys feel that, like, when they cut? Because I was like, are they in the same forest that she was in?
I was expecting it to suddenly become a mutant versus alien fight straight away, because I'm like, oh, okay, so they're in the same location. They can either hear a scream or hear a scuffle. And
instead they go the complete opposite way and they do not meet until like two-thirds later of the movie.
Yeah.
Basically till the end of the movie.
But you realize that
no
these
interaction.
These aliens, that like, because the alien takes on Jessica Chastain's body sort of thing, so she looks exactly the same. I can't remember her name. Is it like, what is it?
Vuk.
Yeah, so... So she takes on her body, so she looks exactly the same as her. And I was like, at this moment, I was like, okay, so she's the big bad of the movie. This is like the doomsday of the movie.
Yeah.
They're all going to fight until they realize they got a common enemy and they're going to fight against the common enemy. It's kind of really annoying that this happens.
Because you kind of think the issue with The Last Stand when they first did Dark Phoenix was that it was just too convoluted and it didn't focus enough on Jean Grey going through the Dark Phoenix thing.
Yes.
So they decide this time around to just strip everything back and add useless, annoying, bad alien characters instead.
Yeah.
And make it even more convoluted. I also found out that apparently the reason why they are so similar to the Skrulls is because originally they were going to be Skrulls.
Right.
In the original script. Yes.
Yeah.
And then they found out that Captain Marvel was doing the Skrulls. So like, I think it was like after they'd started filming, they're like,
oh, right. Oh no.
Gotta change that.
And they also had like the whole end sequence was meant to be in space well. So they had to reshoot whole end sequence as well, because that's what happened in Captain Marvel.
Did you hear about that, Paul?
No.
Yeah.
It was basically the end of this was going to be more of a cosmic battle with Phoenix, with Jean Grey up in space, basically blasting spaceships.
I'm glad they
in the sky.
Yeah.
What does that sound like?
It sounds like a better version of Captain Marvel.
Well, it sounds like a version of Captain Marvel,
yes.
I wouldn't say a better version. But anyways.
Yeah.
So Jean's at the party. They're all having drinks and whatever. And then she has a brain explosion and almost kills everyone in the party. But no, they're not.
They're
dead.
All mutants, so it's cool.
Yeah. So they're cool. Yeah. They're fine.
Cosmo real.
And so she has like a dream and she realizes that she learns in this dream that her dad is not actually dead and that Charles has been lying to her, sort of thing. So she has this dream sequence where she learns that her dad's alive. Meanwhile, Charles is tuning in via Cerebro to see what's going on with her brain, where he learns she's getting growing stronger
than
him.
That's right.
Yep.
And so then she, she goes to her dad.
She wakes up. Yeah, she wakes up and freaks out and then just like yeets out of
there.
She's
like, yeah, I'm getting out of here. She goes to where her dad, like her old home, because she's never thought of going there for this time. She's 30, but she never thought she'd go to a childhood home. Just saying, she's an adult. It's not like she's an 18-year-old kid or something like that.
No. Well, now she can fly, so she has, she has
it's
the
a
ability
bit more convenient
to travel.
Now,
it's a little bit easier.
Right.
Yeah, she didn't have any other means of transport before.
No, maybe the X-Jet. Or the X-Car.
X-Jet was in use,
X-Bike.
Or just a bus.
The X-Taxi.
X-Bus.
The X-Uber.
Uber X.
Whatever.
Uber X.
It's just a mutant.
So she goes to see her dad, but he's not really into being a dad. So he's like, nah, I'm not keen on being your dad because you're kind of scary.
It's kind of like, you killed my wife and that sort of sucks. Yeah. So please go
this
away.
Guy,
so, okay.
This guy should meet up with Shazam, like the mum from Shazam. I reckon they get along.
They get along really well.
You know? Yeah, they both hate their kids.
They have so much in common. They don't want to be parents.
Yeah.
That's about it. Yeah.
And the bad guys, what's the name from Shazam's dad, they could meet up and be friends as well because they've both been in car accidents and had like
that's true.
Things
that's
happen right. to them. So, you know. Like,
it's like the, could be the like, villain. It's the villain equivalent of Martha.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
They're right. Yeah, so like, car crash. They're like, what? What did you say car crash?
Yeah. Why did you say car crash? Why did you say that? Why did you say car crash?
My parents were killed in the car crash.
Mine too.
Did they hit a truck?
Did you kill your parents in a car crash? Yes, I did.
Tree or a truck? Both.
Yeah. Anyways, so the X-Men arrive and does she kill her dad? I can't remember.
They hit her, trying to get her back. They're trying to calm her down, basically.
Yeah, yeah.
The aliens kill the dad later. Die?
No. The aliens did kill her. That's
aliens
right.
kill him later.
Yeah. Anyways.
Yeah.
So the X-Men arrive and Charles is like, I'm not going to use my power. I'll just see how this plays out.
Let's have a chit-chat.
So
smart.
Yeah, let's have
so
a chit-chat. And again,
Chatterino.
Continuing his jerk maneuvers, he's like, you know what, let's just sit back, everyone. Sit
I'm going to let Raven look at this.
Yeah, let her go talk.
I like this sequence, though, low-key. Like, once it all sort of kicked off, I liked Quicksilver, like, running on stuff, and I liked Storm, you know, just hurling lightning at things. Like, it was just, I like the X-Men, because they are cool when they all start fighting each other, but...
I had a big problem with this scene, and it was kind of aesthetic, and it was kind of like same with a couple of problems where I feel like this movie almost intentionally makes you think about The Last Stand. And this was one of the moments where it felt like where they go to Jean Grey's house.
Yeah, the showdown and try with to rescue her. And Xavier dying,
It felt like it was even the same house. It was like it looked exactly the same street that they were on.
Yeah.
They were all doing the exact same thing, smashing through houses and everything. And there's a couple of moments where like they'll do pretty much the same thing or have the exact same look as a scene from The Last Stand.
Yeah.
Which is a terrible idea to remind you of that movie in the first place.
What movie?
But then they'll try to like subvert your expectations and give you something else. But then it's like, well, I'm already kind of irritated about it being too much like The Last Stand.
Yeah.
And this is just like not actually a better resolution.
Yeah.
That was my issue.
I mean, he did write, like the director did write The Last Stand. So
he did.
He kind of like, he's probably like, yeah, I'm just going to steal a few things that I might have had in like in
was
the
a
pool
bit
of
copy
ideas.
Paste.
Thankfully, they didn't have the plastic guns full of anti-mutant serum.
Oh my goodness.
So that was a big step up. That was great.
They were shooting. They did have some sort of tranquilizer thing for the X-Men, though.
Yeah, but that was like
they did.
A taser,
yeah.
A hardcore taser.
Well, it's basically the thing from Deadpool, right? Like it's
or Too Fast, Too Furious.
Thing.
Still yeah, more Deadpool. Copy paste.
Yeah. You know, where they shit them on the front of the cars. Right?
Ooh, yeah, Deadpool.
Epic scene.
Yeah, okay. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, that's right. Sure. Epic scenes in Fast and the Furious.
Those guys
sorry,
are great.
Too Fast and Furious.
Works on cars and mutants. It's great.
Oh, yeah. And Fast 5 as well. Mm-hmm.
Anyways, really? So yeah. Gene throws everyone around, almost killing them. Then Charles is like, nah, yeah, let's see actually. How this goes.
And let Raven talk to her.
Yeah, let her slowly approach her and try and disarm her. So she's like, yeah, I'm coming in.
Approach the Duke.
Yeah, like just casually talking to her. So Charles is like, yeah, okay, I'm going to step in at this point. But no, he's just going to stop everyone else from doing anything, from intervening.
That's right.
And he just freely makes it easy for Jean to kill Raven. So that's
Charles
what happens.
Charles Xavier's book of great ideas.
Charles Xavier. Yeah. He tried diplomacy. It failed. Anyway, that
you
happens.
You don't have anything to say about it. Just it's pretty crap.
Yeah, she does.
So Mystique gets thrown into a whole heap of debris on the side of a house and it stabs right through her. And you're like, she's not going to get better from that. So,
But did you notice it was 3 spikes?
It was actually 4.
Was it?
Was it 4?
Yep.
Oh, okay. Well, never freaking mind then.
Did you notice that it was that 4 comparison? Spikes coming through?
Oh, wow. What does that mean, Jason?
Symbolizing
laws from Wolverine's brother.
Like,
are you sure
no, it's like Wolverine. It's 3 from one and then one from the other. You know, yeah. It's symbolizing that.
It's Wolverine and then a little bit of Weapon X kicking it.
Yeah. Wait, are you saying that it's Wolverine, one of Wolverine's hands and then Weapon X, one claw from his other hand?
Yeah, just one from his other hand. Yeah, yeah. That's what it is.
I don't need all 6.
Completely symbolizing that.
6 is overkill.
Gonna be economical with these claws.
She kind of died. Well, this is a spoiler for Logan for anyone that hasn't seen it, but she kind of dies in the same way that that Wolverine dies, like the whole wood thing.
Wood
but
implanted.
That's a much better movie.
It is a
significantly better movie.
And it should have been the last movie from this whole franchise.
Forever.
And the timeline, I suppose it kind of is because of the way that...
Apart from the Deadpool movies as well.
Yeah.
Because they're great.
Yeah, but I like that conclusion, that kind of bittersweet conclusion. Mm-hmm. And there's a lot of, I don't know, there's just a lot of meaning in that movie that is lost in this, unfortunately.
You're also ending that way on a movie with Wolverine, who is basically the underlying main character of the entire franchise.
Oh, yeah, completely. And you leave him completely out of this one. And I know that they've sort of lent very heavily on his character in the past, and that's what they're moving away from because obviously Hugh Jackman is I'm sick of working out like a crazy person.
That's right.
To be buff and get into this role. So he's stepped away from it, which is completely understandable, but...
What a jerk.
Yeah, I know. Completely. So they should have just ended it with that and not even come this route. But I suppose they probably didn't know that they were going to get acquired by Disney and all that kind of stuff. So they were probably hoping for future movies after this. But
that's
what happens, I suppose. So anyways, Jean is I've killed Mystique after she realizes what she's done.
Right.
And she's like, I'm going to go live with someone that I know is an outsider and has killed people before. So she's going to go live with Magneto. So she finds him in the hilltop commune from the Walking Dead. I realized that this is a crossover because it was looks exactly the same as the commune from Hilltop.
That's right.
And
it's a bit more colorful though.
Oh, a little bit better production design, I suppose. But yeah,
a lot less dead people.
A lot less dead people. A lot more color. A couple of coats of paint.
A few coats of paint, but there's a lot of rusted things around still. So
yeah, right.
it kind of fits in. But Magneto's like, hey, Jen. Hey, Jean.
Hey, Jean.
Hey, Jen.
Jen grew. I want to hit.
Jen.
Hey, Jean.
Jen.
You can stay here. Then Jean's like, yeah, okay.
And he keeps grilling her and he's like, oi, whose blood is that? Like, seriously. Seriously,
oh, yeah, that's right.
Blood is that? Yeah. Come on.
And she's like, no, I'm not going to tell you, which is a first indication that he should be a little sus about it. But anyways.
That's right.
Yeah.
It's your mom's.
And then some military guys arrive and Jean's
this was cool.
She flexes and knocks out some helicopters. Yeah.
Flex is hard. This whole sequence
it's
was
a heavy flex.
Pretty awesome. Yeah.
It was cool.
Actually, like,
it was cool.
I liked it. And then struggling, and then him basically flinging the helicopter away.
It would have been hilarious if it blew up.
I was half expecting at least one guy hanging to like just fall off. Like
I was kind of expecting like the shot from Wolverine where having Jean like slow motion walking away while one of the helicopters explodes in the background. Wolverine Origins kind of thing.
I'm glad they didn't really do anything to do with that movie at all.
No, they didn't reference that.
They're at the halfway mark in this movie pretty much at this point.
Yep.
And this is when they decide to introduce Magneto into the movie.
Yeah.
Which I thought was very interesting. But like in this movie, like, as though like, it's very late in the game to introduce like one of the most interesting characters you have.
You don't need to have like, but when else can he come in though? There's no other real point.
Yeah, it's true.
It's not like you need Magneto to make it a good movie. It just he's like, it's another character. Awesome.
Yeah.
No, but I think he's just a much more interesting character than a lot of the characters we're focusing on at the moment. So it's like, you know, when you're on your last movie, you kind of want to play to your strengths.
Yeah,
I kind of feel like this movie doesn't really do that at all.
No, but hey. Not at all. But I don't think they even realized that it was their last movie. So, yeah. Mm. I mean, the reason that Mystique got killed off is mainly because Jennifer Lawrence didn't want to put on the makeup anymore, from what I understand. It seems like
scheduling as well.
Pretty annoying thing. So, And, anyway, so at this point, Jean's like, Magneto's like, you can't stay with us anymore
because
you're a little bit volatile.
And let's not keep the hand grenade in with all of the babies.
Yeah. Yeah. So she leaves, she goes off, and at some point she meets Jessica Chastain.
She's hiding in a bar and she's like messing around with everyone's mind. So she looks like an old man, and then Jessica Chastain's like, "Sup, Jean?" And they have a little chit chat, and then she's basically saying, "Hey, like, Jen. These people don't truly understand you. I can show you the world." So then she
and
does.
They jump on a magic carpet, and they go. They go to New York on that magic carpet.
Well, they're already in New York, but
it's a whole new world.
They go to another place in New York. Are you sure they're in New York? Because everyone has to travel to New York later on.
Yeah, she flies to New York.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. So then after that,
on the
she
magic
goes
carpet,
and
yep.
meets Vuk.
Oh, actually, Well, hang on.
Great, this is important.
No, because the childhood hometown was in New York. Cool. You're right there. And
was
then,
it?
Yeah, I'm guessing the school for gifted youngsters is somewhere in New York as well. Just upstate.
There you go. Yeah, totally relevant information. Awesome.
I'm flexing how much we know about New York, man.
Flexing how much.
We're experts on the city.
Yeah, of course. We've already established that.
We're experts. We used to be experts, but now we're not. Experts.
Yeah. Anyway.
So anyway, she meets up with the aliens, and the aliens are like, "This is the spark that started everything," and it just kills Earth and stuff. But
they have a nice presentation as well in that in the apartment that she's in. She like transforms the room into this sort of presentation room, and is like, "Yeah, this is what it looks like when it was traveling around and all that kind of thing." It's nice. It's nice that she set that up for her to let her know what was going on.
Yeah.
It's good forward thinking.
It's a good PowerPoint.
Their plan?
They want to manipulate her to work with them, and they want to use her to destroy Earth so they can use it as a home.
Yeah.
There is a line.
It's like terraforming,
where they
right?
Say,
they want to like terraform the Earth to.
Because if
it's
she can
like
harness,
General Zod's plan for,
Yeah. If she can harness the power of the Phoenix, then she can like create worlds and blah, blah, blah. And they're like, "We want Earth because there's no other planets, apparently."
Yeah.
Okay.
Give them the
it's basically they want to take the thing that destroyed their whole planet and their whole species.
Yeah.
And use it to create their world and create their species.
Yeah, correct. It makes perfect sense.
Duh.
It makes perfect sense.
I just want to clarify. I think I missed a few things.
Yeah,
but
so whenever plot, totally I'm trying to make a You're really right. nice area, I just drop a nuclear weapon in it.
Of course.
No, I mean, if it's anything like radiation from Godzilla, after they walk past it, it's all green again. So there you go. Look at how beautiful
house,
Chernobyl is now.
Yeah, beautiful.
Yeah, of course. Of course. They used the core.
Eden.
No, I remember when my house burnt down. Yeah. I was actually able to find the match in the gas bottle that, you know, led to it, and I made a whole new house out of it. So
well done.
We would
just like to welcome
the New South Wales Department of Arson Investigation. Thank you for tuning in.
Exhibit A in the court case against you for your insurance fraud.
The thoughts and actions of Dean Russell don't effectively directly affect the views and opinions of the Nerds Before Bed's Party Limited.
When I wanted to bring Paul back after I killed him, I just found a gun.
I found a gun, but pointed at myself and reversed the
effect. I got Paul back.
I sucked the bullet out of his face. I hit him with a reverse card. He was fine.
So that's what they're doing.
I don't know why you're questioning this movie, Dean.
Like, you clearly, we've cleared it up for you. That's how it works.
That's how science works. I got it. Great.
So after they science
every
the lady,
reaction, okay. there's a negative and equal reaction.
Exactly. Yeah.
Exactly.
Sorry. What? Can you say that one again, please?
No, please. Everyone got it. No, it's science 101. Why do you want to repeat it?
Enlighten me on Newton's third law. Carry on.
You don't need to repeat it because he said it once and it naturally just repeats
itself negative
in the cosmos.
Exactly.
The reactions that are, you know, the same and stuff. Anyway, they teach her all about space and crap. And she's like, sick. I hate everyone now. Let's kill everything. And in this time, everyone's realized that she's in New York. So they're like, we're all going. So now Beast is evil.
First. Okay. Yeah, Beast is left because he realized that Mystique was thinking about leaving Charles before she died. And she even had her moment where she was like, hey, you should change the X-Men to X-Women because they do more saving and Charles is a jerk. So, yeah, and that was like her saying to Charles that she's going to leave, and then she went off and died instead.
So she left?
Yeah, and then she did leave.
Hey, she got her word for once.
Exactly, and so Beast is obviously, he's in love with Mystique, and Mystique also told him that she loved him on like as she was dying. So he's like, that's his whole motivation for leaving Charles.
She never finished a sentence. We don't actually know that's what
she could have loved cake. Yeah.
That's true. Hmm? She could have been like, I love not dying.
I love
that's a thing.
Season four of Friends.
I don't even know if it was love. It was like, I left the oven on.
But they come back to the X house and the X oven's burnt it down.
But as we know anything from burning down
they
houses.
They can turn the oven off. And the house will come back.
Exactly. That's exactly it. You with the matchstick and the oven, you bring the house back. Beast has joined up with Magneto and they're like, yeah, we're going to go kill Jean now at this point.
Classic play.
And so, they're going to New York as well because they know now that she's in New York for reasons. How do they know that she's in New York?
Because they're tracking Beast.
Wait, what?
They're tracking Beast.
No, doesn't Beast go to? He goes to see
Eric, but because Magneto has the thing on and Xavier can't track his mind, they track Beast.
Yeah, I think that is actually what they
do. Right,
that's what they do.
Oh, so yeah, it's right. It's the opposite way around. Charles is tracking Beast.
I think you're actually right.
Thank you. I know, but thank you. He can't track. He can't actually track Jean anymore because she's too powerful for him and she's blocking him out.
Yeah,
that's right.
Anyways, so
they all rock up.
That's such a a convoluted thing. Like, it really doesn't make sense if you think about it. He could track anyone that's with Magneto. He could he could like see through their mind, right? But he can't track Magneto himself. So clearly he could know where Magneto is by like, you know, jumping in the mind of the dreadlock guy or something like that. The one that's like with him.
He doesn't know the dreadlock guy.
Yeah. The guy with super dreads.
But he doesn't know he's there. Yeah.
Love that
but
guy.
He knows where Magneto was staying, so he could just jump in his mind and be like, hey, is Magneto around here, right?
I mean, maybe, but he has no need to jump into Magneto's mind. He has Beast.
Okay, all right.
And the X-Jet.
Yeah, yes, he's got the X-Jet. So they go to New York. They're like, we've got to go to New York. Yes. But apparently it's only a small flight away. It's because the X-Mansion is in New York, is it?
Yes.
Yep, great.
Sure. Yeah. I'm pretty sure.
They take the X-Nightcrawler and he gets in there at the exact same time. And then so it's, you know, Charles and Cyclops and Nightcrawler and Storm fighting Magneto Beast, some chick who has a knife and some dude with dreadlocks. And
yeah, she has a lot of tattoos and she can do like telepathy or something. Yeah, as well.
Anyway, so, they start fighting. They're like, we're going to get Jean. She's going to die. And they're like, nah, let's not make that happen. And they just start beating the crap out of each other. And it's awesome.
Yeah, this as you do. Again,
probably the worst fight I've seen in almost any X-Men movie, in my opinion.
Yeah, it's not great.
What about the original Deadpool versus Wolverine?
This was the second worst fight scene I've ever seen in a movie. Yeah, thank you.
Shut your mouth.
I actually don't mind that fight. Like, you take yourself away from, like, the whole
Deadpool. Shut your mouth, Jason.
Yeah, no. You take your mind away from them, like, destroying Deadpool as a character. And that fight isn't terrible. It isn't a bad fight. It's not a bad sequence itself. But the whole ruining of Deadpool is unforgivable. But...
Yeah, the actual issue action, is that I you can't get past that unforgivable thing that they did.
The best thing about that sequence was in the second Deadpool, where he comes back and shoots that character.
Yes. Yeah.
Or actually, it's great, like, because they actually do, he does the, when he's doing the sword thing that he did in X-Men Origins Wolverine, where he, like, cut all the bullets that were flying. And then, after he does that, he's just
covered in holes.
Bullet wounds. Yeah.
I like that.
It's brilliant.
So, anyways, so they have this fight scene, and Magneto's like, "Yeah, I'm gonna like pull a train up from the tunnels underneath." It looks looks really cool, but it's so dumb. So stupid.
Because there was no metal on the street.
Yeah, there was no metal on the street. He couldn't use a car.
Yeah, he couldn't use eight cars.
He couldn't use the freaking bus that's right in front of him.
The amount of time, it's like basically everyone like stops to wait for the train to come out and like block the street. God. And I'm like, and then in the end, they just jump over the train anyway. So what was the
point? It's barely an inconvenience.
Yeah.
It's like... You can walk through the train.
Just board it.
And they like just step through the door and out the other side.
I reckon they're just like, but I think at this point, like obviously Magneto's impressed everyone. It's like, hang on. Eric's doing something, guys. Hold up. This is going to be freaking awesome. What's he doing?
He's Magneto-ing. He's doing it.
His thing.
He's doing it. But anyway.
Look at how strong he
is. It's a train.
He walks inside to the being that he knows is obviously more powerful than him. And he's like, I'm going to kill you. And she's like, yeah, of course you are. So then he tries to stab her in the face with a handrail. And she's like,
as you do.
No, absolutely not.
No.
Yeah. You can't kill me. I'm going to show you how to kill. And like we talked about earlier in the podcast, he starts crushing his helmet, which is sick.
And it's super brutal. And I was like, oh, wow, they're going to kill Magneto. This is going to be epic. Awesome. And it's going to be like it'll be the first time that he's died in any of these X-Men movies, except for I think he dies briefly in Days of Future Past. Doesn't he?
Sure. Why not?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, because they all kind of die in that movie.
Yeah, everyone but, dies.
Yeah.
But you know it's never going to be forever kind of thing.
Oh, the Guardians kill him. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. In the future That's sequences. So silly. I was like, maybe they'll kill him off and that'll make this like actually really epic, like the final showdown kind of thing, because it'll be like Charles will be completely torn because he's just lost his best friend kind of thing.
And
he's also lost Raven as well. So yeah. Mm. And nope. They don't.
She breaks the helmet again. Seriously, she rips the helmet into four pieces, and it looks like she stabs him in the chest multiple times, and then hurls him down.
She does say like, "This is how I kill. Like I'm going to show you how to kill a mutant or something."
And then she just doesn't kill him.
Yeah, psych.
Baby. So anyway, after she doesn't kill Magneto, more people rock up that she's not going to kill. Xavier and Scott appear. And Xavier's like, no, does Scott appear? Yeah, Scott appears. Wait.
I think he comes a little bit later. I think Charles comes first because she makes him do like the whole walk up the stairs or whatever. And he's stop it or whatever.
Cut it out and for then, some reason.
Stop. Stop.
Yeah, stop. Stop.
And then what does she do? What does he do?
Does he do Jessica Chastain at this point, she's like, I want your power or whatever.
Yeah.
And, and Jean's like, all right, yeah, you can have it. So they hug it out and it's like the first powers transfer.
First of all, Jean looks into Charles's head and then realizes, oh, no, actually, you're a good guy.
Yeah.
You've always been a good guy.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
Take the power out of me. I don't want it.
Yeah, that's right.
She does. And then
character change. That's right. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Charles is like, no, don't, because you'll die or something.
Yeah.
So she does it.
Yeah.
Scott rocks up and blasts Book away.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And then... then the police show up, finally.
Yeah, all the police show up. And Jean's like unconscious, is she at this point?
She's unconscious.
Yeah. So they all shoot him with the anti-mutant guns. It's sort of thing.
Drag them off by their necks.
Yeah, because they have like the same sort of chains that are from Deadpool. It's the same thing as Deadpool, and it stops them from being able to do their thing. Beast, Magneto, and the two red shirt mutants are also captured. And they previously they're like, yeah, we want to kill Jean, but then they have like a 2-second conversation with Charles, and they're like, no, let's save Jean.
That's character them all on a train. There. Throw them all on a train. And as the train is going to the prison, because,
Deadpool 2. Deadpool 2. The same prison.
No, it's not.
It's got to be. It's the same train.
It's in New York.
Trains can go other places.
It's all New York, man. It's the center of the world. So they're on the train, and then all these aliens jump on top of the ship. The train. The helicopters start shooting them, but they're not killing them.
He waits a little bit until they're almost inside the train before he decides to, like, you know, open up and shoot them with like the 50 cal or whatever it is.
He needs to. They need to make sure that they are an actual threat.
Just
soldiers, see how it plays
extra
out.
Level of protection.
Exactly.
Yeah,
like, wait, are these the roof soldiers? No, they're not. Okay, we'll fire on them now.
Are these guys paying commuters? Are they?
Stop firing! They've got opal cards.
Oh no, they're actually causing a little bit of destruction on the actual train. So let's kill them now.
I'd love it if the train stations took that clip and was like, "This is what happens when you don't tap on."
We hunt you down and like throw you off the train. I do remember actually because Magneto and Beast wanted to kill Jean, but then Cyclops is like, "Hey, maybe Mystique wouldn't be cool if you were to
kill
her, want to kill her, kind of thing." So they're like, "Okay, we'll protect her now," kind of thing. It's like that's the big character moment.
Let's all please the dead lady.
Yeah.
She's gonna be so angry.
I was like, but she's dead. She doesn't know what she wants.
maybe
she doesn't want that.
Maybe.
Maybe she wants to not be dead.
We're like.
Maybe.
We don't even decide what we want, do we?
You might be right.
Yeah.
You've been so jealous.
This was the bit where Xavier is basically like says the exact thing that he should have said like an hour earlier.
Which was, I'm sorry.
Beast.
I was wrong.
What did he say? I can't remember.
Beast is like, apologize. I made a mistake. Cool. And then he didn't apologize.
Basically.
He's like, you're a tool.
I'm sorry. I was wrong. You were right. Let's be friends again. And that's it. And basically, Beast becomes like,
I'm sorry, Beast.
Does his Samuel L. Jackson from Pulp Fiction. He's like, man, that's all you had to say. And then just,
I was wondering where that sentence was going. Here's our first cut for the night.
I was very edited.
Guys, look, it's racist Dean.
Very censored.
He's back.
I want you to get my wallet out the intro.
I haven't seen him since John Wick 3.
The rambler and the guy that forgets stuff.
Anyway, aliens are on the train and the mutants are like, we're going to stop the aliens. So the soldiers are doing bugger all. Their guns are basically just yelling at them with strong language, and they all die. And then
Don't hurt me. Don't hurt me. That's what the guns are saying right now. Stop it. Stop it. Stop throwing me off the train.
I like this little bit. When all the aliens come through the door and then all the mutants like start squaring up, you're like, yes, I'm cool with this.
This was.
Let's start killing things. Actually,
it's good in that moment, sick. But then the cinematography sort of takes a steep turn for the worst.
And
starts to look like really like TV sort of looking footage because it's like the motion blur is really weird and it looks kind of crap.
It looks really crisp. I would disagree with that because I believe that the cinematography in this film was terrible from the very beginning.
Yep, fair enough.
It was good. I actually started like about halfway through, I started realizing how many shots there were like, they were just slightly, did you notice there were shots that were just like slightly out of focus?
Yes.
Like, there's like heaps of moments when they just like, they missed that focus focus speed or whatever.
I was like, I started playing like, you know, spot the sharp focus.
It looks terrible. It does look terrible.
So bad.
But I, especially in this bit, I felt like it was really bad because it had like that that really bad motion blur and kind of thing. Like it just doesn't look good. And it kind of goes in that sort of that TV movie kind of look that like the first Avengers kind of had.
Yeah.
You know, you're going to hate me for that.
Everything's pretty flatly lit.
Yeah.
It lacked the grit.
Yes.
Like you could tell it was done on a soundstage because obviously it's not a train, but it just wasn't. It wasn't there.
Yeah.
There was also. The thing is, Simon Kingberg directed it, right? It's his first time directing.
Yes.
And I feel like he's not a very cinematic kind of guy. I kind of I was playing spot the, you know, sharp focus. I was also playing spot the shot of the back of someone's neck because there's a lot of that going on as well. Did you notice that? Like keeps like shots of just the backs of people's heads.
Oh,
it's
you
like,
know,
that's totally what we want to see in a movie.
I didn't notice it as much, hey, but I wasn't really paying attention.
Yeah,
to be honest,
Jason was asleep at this point.
It's fair enough.
I was pretty, at this point, we have like all the aliens getting killed, and like it looks like the mutants might win for a split second.
Yeah,
and then. Jessica Chastain is like, yeah, this is my time to make an entrance because all my friends are dead.
And she has a little bit of the Phoenix power in her now.
Yeah, she does. She does. So she jumps in and she makes a big grand entrance. And then
the bulletproof aliens have been shot and killed by bullets.
I think it was less of they're bulletproof, but like a 50 cal will tend to ruin most things, Dave.
Right.
Yeah, it's sort of like they're just not big bulletproof kind of thing.
Yeah,
like, they're bulletproof, but sometimes.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's like a bulletproof vest. Like it'll stop most bullets, but you get hit with the 50 cal and come on, buddy.
Yeah, yeah.
So they're going to feel it.
They're bulletproof, but the weakness is that they're also not bulletproof.
Yeah. Kind of thing.
Yes.
It's certain.
They're bulletproof,
amount,
but they're not bulletproof. It's all about the emphasis.
They're like, it's like water resistant as opposed to waterproof. They're resistant to bullets, but
poisonous and venomous.
Completely bulletproof.
They're bullet resistant. I like that. They're bullet resistant to a depth of 50 feet.
Yeah.
Any further, you just kid yourself.
Exactly. So, they wake up Jean, and she's like, okay, I'm going to crash the train or something.
Yes.
So she does like her big thing and the whole train crashes into a backlot that looks like a train crash. But
she saves everyone. She gives them all the little bubble.
Yeah, she does. She does. And in this back lot of train crash, there's strategically placed fire and debris. It's like perfectly evenly placed around the set.
Isn't it lovely?
Yeah, it's really well done.
So good.
And I kept thinking this does not feel like an actual train crash. It doesn't feel like at all. Like it was very
stop
disconnected.
Stop nitpicking, man.
No, I'm sorry. I should like, stop. Just, I should. I yeah, should stop. Anyway, so Gene takes on a few of the last remaining aliens and just wipes them out pretty quickly. And then Gene and Jessica, they continue their hug.
Yes.
To hug out their powers and until the hug becomes too strong and they both explode.
So, it's like that inevitable there. Moment been if there. You've ever been playing like rugby league in high school and it goes from like just two hand tap to like 3 second hold.
Yeah.
The 3 second hold then turns into I'm just going to absolutely smash the crap out of you.
Yeah.
That's kind of what happens here.
It's inevitable, really.
It's inevitable.
So, when you started that sentence, I was not sure where you were going. I was like, oh, it's like when you're playing rugby with your mates and you're just like hugging in the showers. And you're just like, it's like a little hug.
No,
but then
it goes for a bit too long. I tend to not project on this podcast, Dean. I don't know what the hell happened to you growing up, but let's just keep it off the record, yeah?
I didn't like playing rugby.
Yeah. Anyways, so in this moment after they like, well, as they're like hugging it out, they have like the wonderful lines of Sophie Turner goes, "You want this power, you got it." And then and I'm like, wow, whoever wrote this is like you amazing.
and they hit enter and they're like, yes.
Oh,
yes.
That was a secret 90s reference. I feel like
that's what it is. At least they actually didn't beat us over the head with the 90s references like Captain Marvel did. So like they could have gone that route.
They went the exact opposite and ignored the 90s
completely. And then Jessica Chastain says some line about like your emotions making you weak, and she's like, "No, my emotions make me strong," and then they both explode. I was like, what is this writing? Like, it's so stupid. And that is like the end of that character.
It exploded into a phoenix. That's dumb.
Oh yeah.
That's not how explosions work.
It's Dark Phoenix.
Also not how explosions work in space.
It should have exploded into the title Dark Phoenix. Everyone knows that. Oh.
Guys, it's not called X-Men Dark Explosion in Space.
Yeah, you're
it's called
right.
X-Men Dark Phoenix.
Dark Phoenix,
okay?
Yeah.
You've got to respect the title here. Come on.
Yeah, come on. Anyways, movie ends with Gene having an evolution speech and the school being renamed to the Jean Grey School of whatever.
Yeah.
Which is like really dumb. Charles spends years building a reputation for mutants and they decide to rename the school to be the name, like named after the person who's known to be an outlaw.
It's like the Adolf Hitler School of, community and encouragement.
Yeah. Yeah, and they don't name it after Raven. They could have called it like the Raven School or whatever. And Raven was an active teacher and
Raven
a functional
Academy.
Participant in making the society a better for mutants. And yet they're like, let's give it to the person that killed her. Let's rename it.
It's probably one of those things like they printed the sign. I was like, hey, no, this guys, this it should be Raven School. Like, well, we've already printed the sign. We already made it. It's like,
It is dumb. I hate it a lot.
Yes.
That was silly.
We'll put it on the letterhead, maybe. Raven School,
It's similar to like, it's like Game of Thrones all over again. She does nothing.
and still gets crap
named after her.
Yeah.
It's like, I've done nothing, but I want to be Queen of Winterfell.
Yeah, she kills a lot of people. And then she's like, I'll be the name of the school.
Absolute joke.
But anyways, Charles and Eric, they retire to the Inception Cafe. And we see the glimmer in the sky of the Phoenix outline, and that's
do we?
The end of the movie. Yeah, we do.
Really? I didn't even notice that.
Yeah.
That's dumb.
Yeah.
Really?
Dumb. Yeah. So that's them playing chess in the Inception Cafe. I'm sure if you pan across, you'll see Batman, and then you see Alfred in the same cafe.
Yeah, well,
is exactly what I thought. I actually thought that they were going to do that.
Yeah, you see Leonardo DiCaprio as well in the same cafe.
And like, you probably also see Tom Cruise and his
Ellen
wife.
Ellen Page?
Oh.
Whoa, what?
Oh, yeah.
I was like, Ellen Page. Ellen Page would be in there as well because like she's in both For X-Men sure. and Isn't Inception, where, so she'd be course. As well.
Isn't yeah. that where Tom Cruise it's meets his wife after like X-Men 3 or 4 or whatever the hell it is?
No, I don't think so.
Oh.
No, X-Men X-Men 3.
You mean Mission Impossible.
X-Men Mission Impossible, sorry.
Ghost Protocol.
Yeah.
Mission Impossible. It's Ghost
Mission
Protocol,
Impossible,
yeah.
Yeah, Ghost Protocol, but I don't think it is in Ghost Protocol.
No, I just thought Dean said Protocol.
Prodigal. Like, prodigal so ghost.
It's like ghost prodigal, prodigal son.
Ghost prodigal.
That's the yeah. That's the next one, isn't it? Yeah.
Yeah. So
where he comes back.
That's the end of this movie. So like
we've made it, guys.
Yeah, we've made it.
In half the time for once.
Where does it land in Birds for you guys? Where is it like on the scheme of things?
Get it, Dean.
It is. It is very two. For me,
it is very two.
I think.
Yeah. Yeah.
Very two. Like, yeah. I can't give it half because that's doing an injustice to how
to
terrible
the world.
Rim of the World was. but it definitely does. Yeah, it's on the tail end of Birds.
Yeah. Yeah. Fair
so,
enough.
Yeah. But then I think the I did enjoy end. The train scene. That was pretty fun.
I liked
thought
it.
That it was, even though it wasn't lit very well and the cinematography wasn't the best, it was. It brought the team together pretty well, and I thought
I loved
it was
the
definitely
bits.
The most enjoyable bit.
I liked the bits when like the dirty aliens would like poke their head in a hole in the train and just get their face blown off by Cyclops. Like, you just see his laser ripping through every now and then. I'm like, cool, I like that.
Yeah. Yeah, fair enough.
Yeah.
But where does it fall for Birds for you?
Oh, it's a two. Like, look, I'm fluctuating between
it's
two
as
and
well.
A half.
Wow.
But I would probably give it 2.5, I'm going to be honest, because I didn't hate it, but I didn't enjoy it. So it's a EMU.
So you're enough. you're doing Dean's thing and you're rating it slightly higher?
No.
Yeah.
I don't do that. I rate honestly.
So funny.
It was a 2.5 at the beginning of the podcast. It's a 2.5 now. Whatever you say doesn't affect me because I'm my own person.
Oh, sure.
As in stubborn.
I'm not a sheeple.
Got it.
I'm going to just edit out that and then edit it in reverse so that you go from 2.5 to 2. After us convincing you.
Please do that.
Don't
please
manipulate.
Do that. Please, anything you need to do, Jason, to paint Paul in a bad light, you have my full support.
Yeah, thank you.
Jason, you don't have my full support. So tell, you know.
Yeah, well.
Yep.
Yeah.
What are you rated, Jason?
Two against one.
Oh, thank you.
There we go. Wow, I didn't know you were such a good fisherman.
Yeah, I thought it was dumb. It's 2 out of 5 Birds for me. It's crap.
Absolutely. Yeah.
We really need to push this as much as we can and just be like literally just quiet for ages.
Like 5 minutes before 2 minutes of silence at the end of every episode while I wait for you guys to ask me what I thought of the movie.
It was like 3 hour podcast, but you know, 2 hours of it is just us waiting. Before we ask you what you thought.
That's right. Yeah, but no one here, you're like, why are the podcasts all of a sudden 3 hours long? It's like, oh, because there's a 30-minute standoff at the end where they don't ask Jason what he thought the movie was.
Yeah, I can see that happening. But yeah. Anyways, so that brings us to the end of this week's show. I hope you enjoyed the show. If you like the show and you want to support the show, you can visit our Patreon page at patreon.com/nerdsbeforebirds. You can contribute any amount, and that's
starting at $1 a month, guys. 100 cents. What a like a crap less amount of money. Just don't buy a Froco for a month, and you could support an absolutely rip roaring podcast or ours.
Or a perfectly mediocre podcast.
Jason, I have a question for you though. Legit.
Yes.
Legit.
What do you have?
If I wanted to engage with us,
if you
somehow,
want to engage,
how would I do that?
Well, I'm married. Paul's single. But
no, he's not.
He's got a girlfriend, so he's not fully committed, but he's on the scared side of commitment. You could engage us via Facebook. if you want, at facebook.com/nerdsbeforebirds. And we're on there contributing constantly. And feel free to ask Paul out. Or tell him to hurry up and propose.
Don't do that.
Yeah, the freak.
We're also on Instagram and Twitter, guys. We're Nerds Before Birds on Instagram, but we're Nerds Before Bird on the twits. So hit us up on that. But in all honesty, we're way more active on Facebook. So I'd recommend you prioritize that one. And
seriously, though, Paul, hurry up and get married. So you need to settle down so you have more free time so that you can make these podcasts more. Seriously.
Okay. Excellent.
Have a couple of kids too. Then you have heaps more time on your hands.
You have heaps more time.
Oh, yeah. Well, then I you know what? I was going to be really passive there, but let's just, don't worry about it. We're all good here. We're all friends.
What are you going to say?
No, it's fine.
Back and down.
I can have a baby and ruin a project.
We got him.
You guys
we got him, Dean. We got him. What was that?
What? All right.
And that's what you said.
Did you?
Oh, yeah. You don't want him to repeat that. Yeah.
Oh, look, that took a turn. That took a turn.
Oh, man.
All right.
So that brings us to the end of this week's show. Hope you enjoyed it, guys. That's a bye from me.
Bye.
Yeah, I hope you enjoyed it.